I too would like to add my thanks to those who are visiting with us. We want you to know we're happy that you're here, and we hope that things that are said this morning will be an encouragement to you, and we pray that if you have any questions about what you hear or see, and we can be of a help in answering those questions, we'll be more than happy to do so, and to do so in such a manner that you would understand that we, our aim and goal here is to stand upon the gospel of Christ to do no more and no less. If you feel we have not ascertained to that, we would encourage you to bring that to our attention that we might be able to make that correction. In the last few weeks, on the world stage, there has been some things that have transpired, that there's been a lot of discussion in social media about depression. I want to talk for just a moment this morning about a subject, and even tonight we're going to touch on this and talking about joy and peace tonight. But this morning I want to talk about a statement that I've heard many times in my life, not just uttered by people in the world, but uttered by people who are members of the Lord's church. And to me it's a little bit of an alarming statement, and I'll explain why in just a moment. I've heard this statement made many times. There are many things that I don't deserve. I don't deserve this. What exactly does that mean? It's easy to grumble and complain and about what happens to us. When things do not go our way, when we lose our friends, we lose our jobs, our plans don't go exactly as we hoped, or even maybe our health or our status in life is not what we thought it would be. I often heard the statement that when something is done and somebody thinks they deserve more credit than they got, and when they organize a particular thing and somebody doesn't give them enough credit, they complain about that person didn't lift a finger, but yet they get all the credit. I've always tried to do what's right, but it doesn't always seem to go out that way. We either think that we didn't get what we do deserve, or we did get what we didn't deserve. Well, what about grace and mercy, folks? Do we get what we deserve, or do we get what we don't deserve? We, as God's people, have been allowed the understanding and the ability to know that we have been forgiven. We have been given grace. We have been given mercy, and it has been extended to us by nothing that we've done to merit it or deserve it. And nothing that I'll ever do in my life on this earth, no matter how long I live, no matter what I might accomplish, will merit or put me in a position that I deserve the grace and the mercy of God. There is nothing that I could do to ever repay the Lord for what He has done and continues to do for me. And so it's not an act of merit, or it's not an act of getting what I deserve. Grace is what is when I do get what I don't deserve. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. I've often heard it said that when I stand before this judgment seat of God, I don't want justice. I want mercy. I want grace. But that's the only thing that's going to save me. That's the only thing that's going to put me in a position that I might obtain heaven. On my worst days, I've heard it been said that when I can't seem to shake the fog or the relentless headache that I have, when I'm lonely and I miss people who I love and are no longer here, when I'm worried about what the future holds, when I allow myself for 1 minute to question my circumstances that God has prevailed upon me or what is part of my life, I think about my blessings. And I am blessed beyond measure, and blessed far beyond what I deserve. There's a song that I am particularly fond of that really carries along with this lesson. It was written by a man named Chris Christopherson. It's called "Why Me, Lord?" And it really is a song, if you would think about the words. What have I ever done to merit one good pleasure or blessing that I've been allowed to enjoy? Why me, Lord? Why would you bestow your love and your mercy and your grace upon me? And why should I complain whenever things don't go the way I plan or the way that I like or the way that I thought they would be? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to suggest to you this morning that in essence, we have never gotten from God what we really deserve. What we really deserve, He has withheld because of His love for us. There are many things that we do not deserve. We do not deserve salvation. We do not deserve that we should be remitted of the condemnation of our sin. We don't believe and we don't accept and we don't deserve spiritual blessings. But we have them because we're in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. But we're not saved because of how good a people we are. And we're not saved because we're just obedient. We're saved by the grace and the mercy and the love and the long-suffering of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "For we are saved by grace." And I understand that and I'm well aware of that. And none of us will ever see the portals of heaven without the grace of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says in the same chapter, the end of that chapter, in verse 23, it says the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve, but that's not what we got. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, a few weeks ago, we examined that Paul, looking at his own life, made the statement in verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." We need to understand that their salvation is a gift. That doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything. That doesn't mean it's a free ride. But it means it's something that we didn't merit. It's not something that God's obligated to do. And there's nothing that you and I could do that would ever equal what God has done in giving us salvation. We also receive many physical blessings from God. Health. Our lot in life, our length of years upon this life. There are many things that God blesses us with. Every day, if we would just sit down, there's a song in your book called "Count Your Blessings." If we would count our blessings, maybe we wouldn't be so quick to be discouraged when things don't go the way that we think they ought to go. And so I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about this attitude that seems to permeate our society. We live in the age of entitlement. What I deserve. And I should give what I deserve. What's coming to me. And this attitude of entitlement is something that's not just a plague in our nation. It's going to, at one point, sometime, it's going to destroy this nation if it's not turned around. This attitude of entitlement. But this attitude of entitlement even persists among people who ought to know better. People who are people of God. And people that ought to know that this deserving of entitlement is simply wanting something for nothing. And we need to understand that decide what you want, believe you can have it, believe you deserve it, and believe it's possible for you. Well, that might be good sentiment, but it has to be tempered with understanding that we are nothing without God. That's one of the reasons we're studying the book of Ecclesiastes. Because if you go through life and you leave God out of the equation, you're going to find life meaningless. You're going to find it empty. You're going to find it vain. You're going to find that it's not very happy. It's not very profitable. And when things go wrong, you're not going to know how to deal with it if you don't have God in your life. It's just an endless cycle that's repetitive and makes life have no meaning. Remember the story about the ant? The Bible calls it the sluggard. In Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 6 through 9, the Bible talks about one who has an attitude that God disapproves of. In verse 6, of that chapter, it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her food in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? In this passage, it's talking about those who do not make proper provisions in life. You know, we worry about everything in life. We worry about our finances. We worry about our future. We worry about our retirement. We wonder where our kids will go to school. We wonder what's going to happen to them. But you know, the greatest and the most important thing, we seem to put on the back burner and we put it down on the list and we think by some miraculous thing that it's going to take care of itself, and that is my spiritual relationship and duty to God. But you know what? There's a reason that Matthew 6:33 says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because then all these other things will be added to you. You know what the meaning of that passage is? It means if I put God in His proper place, then I'm not going to have to worry about what I'm going to eat. I'm not going to have to worry about where I'm going to live. I'm not going to have to worry about making a living. I'm not going to have to worry about providing for my family. Because God's going to make all that possible if I put Him first. And you know what? God does not make idle promises. God backs up what He says. And so we need to make provision. And we need not. And whenever we look at this passage, we often talk about being physically lazy, and that's an application, but also has a spiritual application. That we can be spiritually lazy, and yet we still expect that we're going to be provided for. That we still expect God's blessings. We still expect things to go the way we want it to go, even though we have our priorities out of sorts. Brethren, we're not making the decision according to God's will. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, I would recommend, if I was the president of the United States, and I'm not, have no ambition to be, but if I was, I would make the welfare system to be 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. If a man won't work, neither should he eat. That's not being ungodly, that's not being unkind, that's a biblical principle. When you give people things that they don't deserve and they don't work for, they do not appreciate them. And sometimes we allow that attitude to rub off about our salvation. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. God doesn't owe it to us. And yet we take it for granted to think that we can treat God in any way we choose. And yet because we're His children and He loves us, that we're going to get it. When we grumble and complain about every little thing. The Bible says that selfishness is not compatible with being a Christian. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this book says a lot about our attitude about material wealth. But in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, it says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, despisers of good, unloving, unforgiving, unholy, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And you know what that, you know how you can sum all that up? That's the generation we live in. It's called the me generation. Everything about me. Everything revolves around me. Every thing revolves around what I want, what I need, what I think's right, what I think is necessary. You know what? And this attitude has permeated all through our society, even until religion today. People think they are entitled in their religion to have it the way that they want instead of having it the way that God wants. They think they deserve to have religion in the way that they want it. Well, you know what? You have the right to choose whatever you want to choose. But remember something we talked about in our class this morning. There's consequences to every choice that you make. And so selfishness is something that's incompatible. We need to understand that we need to make provision and work while we have time and opportunity. You know, this age of entitlement, injustice should be fought against. James 4 verse 17 says that to him that knoweth do good and doeth not, To him it's sin. Matthew 25 talks about the injustice of people who are in need. The person that was in prison, the person that was sick, the person that needed clothing, the person that needed food. And Jesus used as an example before the judgment seat of Christ that we'll give an account on how we handle the opportunities that God presented us with people who are less fortunate than we, while we went through our lives and we were blessed. How we use those blessings are going to determine whether we gain heaven or whether we are entitled to hell. And so, yes, we should fight against injustice. We want things to be done in an upright way. But let's be realistic for a moment. We must remember there will always be those who are less fortunate. There will always be injustice in the world. That was true when Jesus was here. When Jesus healed the sick, did he heal them all? When he helped those who were in poverty, did he help them all? If you remember on one occasion, Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. There will always be injustice. There will always be those that are less fortunate. But ladies and gentlemen, we should have the attitude of thanksgiving. That we should be extremely thankful for what we have, no matter how much or how little we have. We need to develop the attitude of thanksgiving. Let me ask you an honest question this morning. When is the last time you prayed to God and didn't ask Him for a thing and thanked Him for what He's given you? Your life, your children, your spouse, your job, your prosperity, the country you live in, the freedoms that you have. When's the last time, and the blessing that you have to call God your Father and be able to pray to Him and know that He's listening? When is the last time you just said thanks? If you can't remember, that's not a good sign. We're good at the asking part, but sometimes we forget about the thankful part. You know, this attitude of entitlement, it didn't develop in our country. It's been around for a long time. You know how long it's been around? Since the beginning of time. I deserve this. Remember Eve in the Garden of Eden? Remember God said, you can eat of every tree that's in the garden. You have dominion over everything I created. There's this one tree in the midst of the garden here that you can't eat of that tree, for if you eat of it, you'll die. But you know, the serpent came along and said, has God said that you can partake of every tree that is in the garden? Now, the serpent already knew what God said. And he said, oh yeah, we get to eat. Verbatim told the serpent exactly what God said. He said, God said we could eat of every tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, we can't eat that one, for in the day that we eat it, we shall surely die. And so, Satan says in verse 4, you're not going to die. You won't die if you eat of that tree. I want you to notice what Satan did. In verse number 4, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, but God knows, and in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, and you'll know good from evil. And so the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and it was a tree desirable to make one wise, and she deserved it, so she ate it. Why did she eat it? Because she thought she deserved it. She deserved to be like God. She deserved to know right from wrong. And you know what? Satan told her the truth about that. But what he didn't tell her, and what he hid from her, was what that word death meant. That word death meant the one that gave them life, the one that put them in the garden, the one that created them from the dust of the ground, the one that gave them life, they would be separated from him and driven from the garden. I'm going to ask you a question. When she was driven from the garden, did she think she deserved that? She violated God's will. She deserved that. What about Cain? God should have accepted my sacrifice. I gave the best I had. I'm a farmer. I gave the best of my produce, and I gave it as an offering to God, and I gave it to Him out of gratitude. I don't deserve that God rejected my sacrifice. And remember when God appeared to, when God talked to Cain, he said, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, will you not be accepted? What did that mean? If you did the right thing, then you would have been accepted. You did the wrong thing, and so you were rejected. You're not entitled when you do the wrong thing. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of beans because he was hungry. Do you think his brother would have let him starve to death? No. The Bible says in Hebrews, he despised his birthright. You know what that means? He didn't understand the value of it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the value of our relationship with God. We need to understand the value of salvation and what it means to be a child of God and what it will gain us in eternity. We need to understand the value of that. And then you have Achan. Achan saw that Babylonian garment. He saw that gold, he saw that silver, and he coveted it. He said, I deserve it. He went and buried it under his tent. Because of his selfish act and his greed, he caused 36 men to lose their lives and caused the nation of Israel to be defeated at the city of Ai. Because he thought he deserved it. What about Korah? Korah decided in number 16, you know, Aaron, you and Moses, you got too much of this. We're Levites too. And we deserve to have some of the power that you have. And we think you're hoarding it to yourself. And we think we're entitled. We're entitled to have as much authority as you have. Remember what God did on that occasion? Remember he brought all of them together, the 250 princes and their censors, and had them stand before Israel? And he said, I'll tell you what we'll do here. He said, if you live a long life and you die of natural causes, then you're right. We've taken too much of this authority for ourselves. But if God creates some new thing to happen, then you know that you spoke presumptuously. And you remember what he told the nation of Israel? He said, step away. Step away from Korah and his family and their belongings. Do you remember what happened? The earth opened up. And they fell in, and then the earth closed over them. They weren't entitled. God had already determined. Ahab, he wanted Naboth's vineyard in 1 Kings chapter 21. It was adjacent to his land. He wanted to put another garden there, and it would make his garden more profitable and more prosperous. And so he went and he probably offered Naboth a good price, probably more than it was worth. But it was part of Naboth's inheritance. And he couldn't give it to Ahab because he wasn't part of Ahab's lineage. And so he refused to sell his vineyard. And so you know what Ahab did? He went and pouted. And Jezebel saw him. And Jezebel said, what's the matter? Why are you not eating? Why are you upset? Why is your countenance fallen? Oh, I want a Naboth vineyard here. I deserve it, and he won't sell it to me. He says, are you not the king of Israel? I'll take care of it. And she by her evil scheming, got men to make false charges against Naboth. And then Naboth was taken out, and he was killed. And she came back and gave the vineyard to Ahab. So he got what he thought he deserved. You're right, he got what he deserved, because then Elijah came, and Elijah said, yeah, you got the vineyard, and the vineyard that you're in, the dogs will lick your blood from this vineyard for your evil that you have done. And that's exactly what happened. He wasn't entitled to it. And then you have the scribes and Pharisees. They thought that they deserved to be in Moses' seat. They thought that it was all right for them to make their traditions equal to the law of God. And they thought that Jesus was a threat to that. And so since they thought they were entitled to that power and they were entitled to that position, they murdered the Son of God. Why? Because they thought they were entitled to that power and to that authority, and he was trying to take it away from them. They were wrong about that too. And then you have the Jews, who thought that they were God's chosen people. And the Gentiles, they were nothing more than dogs. And they didn't deserve the salvation from God. They didn't deserve to be in a relationship with God. Because they thought they were entitled because they were God's chosen people. They were wrong about that too. And then you had Judas. He thought he was entitled to 30 pieces of silver if he betrayed the Lord and put them in their hand. Yeah, he was entitled to it. He got it. And after he got it, he realized what he had done. He tried to give it back, but it was too late. He went out and hung himself. And then you have fallen angels who are in heaven with God, created to do His work, to do His mission. And they rebelled because they thought they were entitled. Now they're in chains of darkness, reserved forever there until the day of judgment. They thought they were entitled too. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about pride. It's dangerous. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Everyone that experiences destruction will be because they lack humility. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. And before honor, there is humility. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble in spirit will retain honor. How do you fight? And how do you protect yourself from not having this scourge of entitlement and the attitude of entitlement of what we think we deserve? How do we protect ourselves from not gaining that disease? Well, there's a very easy way to do that. It's called contentment. It's to learn how to be content. Job was the richest man on the face of the earth. Satan said that God had a hedge around him. And the only reason he was faithful to God was because God had blessed him so much. But you take everything away from him, he'll curse you to your face. So Satan was told, you go ahead and test him, but you don't hurt his person. And so in a very short amount of time, Jacob went from a rich man to a pauper. He went from a man that had 10 children to a man that had none. What did he do? Then he said, I don't deserve this. I serve you faithfully. I even offer sacrifice for my children. I eschew evil. I fear God. How did you let this happen to me? He didn't say that. You know what he said? The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he was hit with his health. He had boils from the top of the crown of his feet to the sole of his feet, and people that knew him didn't even recognize him. And he took broken pottery and he scraped his body to take care of the boils. And even his wife said, why don't you still keep your integrity? Curse God and die. Job 2 verse 9. Remember what Job said? Woman, you speak like one of the foolish people. Should we receive good from God and then when we get adversity, blame God? And the Bible says, in all of this, Job sinned not with his lips. Job lost everything. But when we have something go wrong in our life, we think it's a catastrophe. God never promised it. have all eternity. Do we always get what we deserve? Do we always get what we're entitled to? No. Is God there always fair? No. But are we a blessed people? Yes. Does God love us? Yes. Does God care? Yes. And will God always be with us? Yes. And will it be better for us at the end of our life, no matter what we suffer here, if we remain faithful to God? And the answer to that is yes. So I suggest to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the next time you pray to God, the next time you talk to Him, thank Him. Thank Him for what He has given you, what He has blessed you with, and what He has done for you. Because you know why? Tomorrow it may all change. And tomorrow it may be quite different. But even if it is, and even if it does, don't change your prayer. Still thank God. Ask Him for strength. Ask Him for wisdom. And ask Him your help. Bear your burden. And He'll graciously do that. Don't let life beat you twice. It's worse enough to let life beat you here. But if you let life beat you here, you'll beat yourself out of eternity with God. Don't let it happen. God has given us the power to overcome anything with His love, with His grace, and with His mercy. If we'll just trust Him. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to understand the value of being a child of God. Understand that God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He gave His life that you might live, that you might be redeemed, that you might be reconciled, that you might be one of His children. Hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing His name before man, in order to contact the blood of Christ, will put you in a covenant relationship with God. Make you one of His children, put you in His body, put you in His kingdom, and give you to be an heir of all the reward and the promise that He's made to faithful. If you're here and you are a child of God and you've not been as grateful or as thankful as you should have been, and you should be, correct that. Go to God. Thank Him for your life. Ask Him to help you be more grateful, more thankful for what you have in this life. If we can help you in any way, we bid you come forward. Let's together we stand as we sing.